Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. The feast, because it is a solemnity, is a major feast. And so when it occurs on Sunday, it takes the place, it takes precedence over the ordinary reading. So it's unusual to have the solemnity of this feast on a Sunday. But it's a good thing that we do, because it gives us an opportunity to think about Mary, her place in the church, and her place in our lives, what she is for us. And she's something quite spectacular. Many people today who are looking to renew the church, to renew parishes, to basically say, look, if something's not working, stop it. Don't keep trying to do the same thing again and again and again. Do different things. Evaluate. Hold your feet to the fire. If you have a goal and you don't meet it, then you got to do something else. But these are people who will also say, and this is hard to hear, they would say that most people that go to church on Sunday, Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter, most people are not disciples. Most people are not disciples. In fact, one convert to the church who works at forming intentional disciples would say that maybe 5 to 7% of those who come to your church are really disciples. So, as opposed to pew sitters, we want to be disciples. So a disciple, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who 24/7 has God in their brain, in their heart, in their stomach, in their actions, in their muscles, who are always looking for opportunities to proclaim the gospel message in word and deed, to cure people, to feed people, to teach people about Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple does. So we are called not just to be pew sitters, but to be disciples. So whether at work, whether at home, whether at school, whether at the grocery store, we're supposed to be thinking, I am a bearer of the good news. I'm a bearer of Jesus Christ. I am a light to the world. How am I going to help the people around me share with them the light of Christ, so that whatever they're going through, I can attend to them? Well, of course, that's going to mean we can't just keep to ourselves. We can't build these silos where I'm going to get my groceries, I'm going to go home, I'm going to cook, but rather we go in with this openness. Lord, show me to whom I'm supposed to go. What am I supposed to say? Or just even a hello and a smile. But the disciple is always looking to go deeper in the giving of themselves to Christ and to their brothers and sisters. So that's why this feast is so good, so important, because Mary is often referred to as the mother of the church, or the model Christian, the model disciple, the first disciple. She's the greatest disciple after Jesus, of course, but she's the greatest disciple. And so when we go through her feast, we can learn a lot about what discipleship looked like in Mary's life and what it's supposed to look like in our lives. So I'm going to start with the early feasts. The Feast of the Annunciation, where God came to Mary and said, I want you to bear my child. What did she say? Yes, fiat, let it be done. She didn't know what she was getting into. She was a young girl. She must have been nervous, worried, but her faith, her heart was devoted to God, as she knew this living God. And so when God came to her, she said yes. So what about us? Are we always willing to say yes to God in any situation? Yes to suffering. Yes to going past our comfort zone so we can reach out to someone and serve them. Yes, so that we can be faithful even in the tiny things, even in folding the laundry. faithful to God and doing it as someone who is always aware, I'm doing this because I want to do it well in the name of God. Mary was like that. So we celebrate the Annunciation where she said yes. So yes, is that our primary word when it comes to God? Do we always quickly say yes? Regardless of what it's going to be, and we don't know often what it's going to be, and it may in fact include a lot of suffering, but nonetheless, are we willing to say that yes? Mary did. She's the first of the disciples. We want to be like her. The next feast, the Visitation. Interesting feast. Here we have the superior person going on a long journey to visit the inferior person. And I'm not saying that socially or whatever. But Mary was bearing the Christ child, the Savior, the Messiah. And yet she does the traveling to visit her cousin who is bearing John the Baptist, who will be the precursor to her son. But it's Mary who does the traveling. She goes, I won't say out of her way because this is a cousin, but she's willing to travel. She's willing to go somewhere to greet someone, to share good news with someone. That's what she did. She was sharing the good news of her pregnancy with her cousin, who also had good news because of her pregnancy. And as we read in the gospel, when Mary came up to Elizabeth, the child leapt in Elizabeth's womb. So even John the Baptist in the womb knew that something great was here. Are we willing to do that traveling, go out of our way, go out of our comfort zone, keep thinking, well, you know, I could go to my next door neighbor and see how they're doing, but I want to watch TV. Well, the disciple would obviously say, no, I'm going to run over there, knock on the door, see how they're doing. If they need something, I'm going to do it. That's the disciple's mind. The pew sitter is more, well, what's in it for me? I want to be comfortable. But the disciple, Mary, the model disciple, she goes out of her way. And what does she say in her beautiful prayer? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Do our souls, our very being, proclaim the greatness of God? If people looked at us, would they say, oh, something's going on there. I can feel it, just like John the Baptist. I can see it in that person. Something great's going on. Does God do great things in our lives? Yes. And do we respond to them as Mary did? She did respond to these great things. So are we like Mary, the perfect disciple? Or again, are we just pew sitters? Do we willingly do the traveling? Do what it takes in order to bring about a relationship, a growing relationship, a connection, a community, so that we can draw more people into the church. Because that's what God wants. He wants everybody to be part of the church. That's why He created it. Not as just some kind of idea, but rather as a living entity of like-minded disciples that will say, as we could be saying right now, we're not doing a good job. Look at all these empty pews. We're not doing a good job. Because there are plenty of people in our neighborhoods that could fill up these pews. Mary looked to do that in all of her actions. Are we willing to do that in our lives, to be like Mary, to go on that journey, to discover something, share something, and praise God, proclaim the greatness of God. And then we have, of course, the beautiful story of the crucifixion. And who was at the foot of the cross? The women and John. One man, mostly women. So Mary was there. She was compassionate. She was willing to see the suffering of her son and suffer with him, to be there. So when he looked down, he could see his mother. Wow, that's amazing. So the torment that Jesus went through was still in some way blessed and assuaged by the presence of his blessed mother. She was there for him. She didn't leave him. Are we like Mary? Are we willing to stay in the suffering that is in our world, the suffering of particular people? Are we willing to suffer with in order to become compassionate? Because that's what the word compassion means, to suffer with. Mary did that, the perfect disciple. Do we do what Mary does? There again, she's the model of discipleship. We learn from her. And of course, we constantly pray to her that she will intercede for us so that we can be not so much like her per se, but really where she got it from, her son. So Mary is that conduit, that vessel through whom we come to a greater relationship with her son. That's always part of this understanding of Mary. So then we come to today's feast, the Feast of the Assumption. We are told that Mary rose bodily and soul into heaven when she came to the end of her life. Now, it's interesting that the dogma does not state specifically that she died. And I'm not going to get into that because there's some people who would say, no, she got close to death, but then she was raised up. Others say, no, she actually died and was in a tomb, and then she was assumed into heaven. But she was assumed into heaven incorrupt and is sharing now, and I'm very envious and jealous of this, she is sharing now in the resurrection of her son. She knows what resurrection is because her son experienced it, because of her role in salvation history when she was assumed into heaven. She understood what resurrection was because she went through it. An ordinary human being. So, is that what we want? Do we have that desire? Because Mary is saying, if you do say yes to God, if you're willing to travel and journey to proclaim the gospel, if you're willing to stay put in the midst of suffering, violence, whatever it is, so that you can bring the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, to a fallen world, then one day, like Mary, we will be raised from the dead. We will be resurrected to share in the glory of God. Our bodies will be glorified, and we will experience a fullness of life, physical and spiritual and emotional, all those things, because we're human beings, but we'll experience the fullness of that in paradise, in this new creation, this new world that God has promised us. So Mary is a blueprint. She's a model of the church. She's a model for us of how we are supposed to be living our lives. And as Catholics, we grow up with Mary. We say the rosary. Maybe for those of you who are converts, you're still getting to learn how Mary fits in to the story of salvation. But clearly she played a very important role, and we're called to keep looking at her and saying, this is what she did. I need to do that too. Because if she is the mother of the church, if she is the model disciple, then I don't have to go searching for models. It's right there. We have it in the scriptures. We have it in the teachings of the church. We have it in celebrations like today's solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother into heaven. We've got it all. So are we going to stay with 5-7% of the congregation as disciples? Or are we going to say, no, I got to go further. I got to go further so that I can be more like Mary, who is like Jesus. She followed him perfectly. We're called to follow Mary so that we can get to Jesus, so that we can be like Mary, a true disciple of Jesus. So as you go forth today, remember that word disciple. Disciple basically means student, someone who's learning. Are you learning more about your faith each day? And I'm not talking just about the teachings of the church, but learning how to do something that you're not comfortable with, but you do it because you would think it's a good thing. To someone maybe that you see who doesn't seem quite energized or whatever, could you go over to them and say, hey, good morning, how are you? Anything going on? Can I pray with you about something today? That's a great gift that we give to other people. But there's other opportunities we will receive around the water cooler or at school, wherever, where we can practice being a disciple, grow in our discipleship, so that we can be part of the communion of disciples around the world, who are really the ones who are on the ground, who are the ground forces really moving out into the world to bring more people to the church, to bring more people to Christ, so that we can have more disciples and more people in order to glorify the name of the Lord and to grow in our faith. And I guarantee you, the more you push yourself to be a disciple, the more you encounter other people, and it calls for vulnerability, it calls for saying no to fear, but the more you do that, you're going to find that you are ministered to. You are given gift upon gift, so that it keeps building up, and then you create new disciples. That's how it's supposed to be. As disciples, we make disciples. So sky's the limit. The Feast of Mary tells us that. And of course, we're all hopeful that one day, if we are counted among the great disciples, we will be with the Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints in heaven, in our resurrected form, enjoying the fruits of eternal life. That's where we want to be. But right now, we're here in a world that's messy, chaotic, painful, and violent. But we have power, the power of God, to make a difference, to truly be disciples, to go out in the world and to proclaim the goodness of God, which is the truth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior.